Let us pray. Father, heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come tonight and study the word of truth. We pray as those who listen in that they will be encouraged tonight, that they will be enlightened, and that they will be edified when they come from this study. We thank you for the gospel by which we are saved, and that is that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, and he rose on the third day according to the scriptures. We thank you for the gospel for which we are saved. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this platform. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen, my brothers and sisters. Tonight, if I have a question for you tonight, are you standing on the right or wrong foundation in the dispensation of grace? And our lesson, our text, 1 Corinthians 3:10-13. 1 Corinthians 3:10-13. Listen to what the Apostle Paul had to say. He said, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise, he said, master builder, I have laid the foundation, Paul said, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than this is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And then in Ephesians 2, we're going to just lay some groundwork here. Ephesians 2:13-22, Paul said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make him to himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the Christ, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, talking about Gentiles, and to them that were not. But through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Let me say this, apostles and prophets in the dispensation of grace. I want us to clarify that. The apostles and prophets in the dispensation of grace. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. Believing Jews and Gentiles are part of the same divine household of God, the church, the one new man, the body of Christ. The body of Christ's foundation is composed of the apostles and prophets in the dispensation of grace. Its chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ and is composed of Christians. And the word build here means to construct, to assemble, to join together, to mold, to form, to create, and to erect by following a master design or a blueprint. And it is good to recognize that the most important part of that building process is the foundation. As I'm always fond of saying, you can't build a skyscraper on a chicken coop foundation. Let me say that again. You can't build a skyscraper on a chicken coop foundation. The foundation that the structure rests upon must be well built and very solid, and thus able to withstand the total weight of the building. The foundation must be the right one and built correctly, being put solidly in place before the building goes up. This seems so obvious. The first, the foundation, and then the building. Just as this is true when constructing a building, it is also true when building up the church, the one new man. And today, many churches have been built without the proper regard for the right foundation. In everything we do, whether physical or spiritually, there must be a foundation. It is the foundation of a building that would determine if a building would be stable and durable. If anything we do or intend to do, the foundation is very important. How is your spiritual building? Carrying building up the church or building one's spiritual life will begin with the foundation in Jesus Christ. Our work judged. For what are we being judged for if not for the sins or salvation when we get to the judgment seat of Christ? Whether according to God's will or not, it is described in 1 Corinthians 3 and 2 Corinthians 5:10. In 1 Corinthians 3:10, Paul describes himself as the wise master builder laying the foundation of Christ. Elsewhere described as Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, 1 Corinthians 4 and 1, Romans 16, 25. Paul admonished, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. 1 Corinthians 3:10. On the judgment day, the judgment seat of Christ, on that day, the judgment on that day would not be to determine the character of a man's soul, whether his identity is that of a sinner or a saint. At this judgment, all our believers are sanctified in Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ by grace through faith. Now, neither is this judgment Paul's talking about. It's to weigh the number of good works over against the bad works to see whether on a balance a person was good or bad. Whether the fire at this judgment seat of Christ, what Paul is talking about, will try every man's work of what sort it is, 1 Corinthians 3:13. The sort of work that endures is that which builds and edifies the body of Christ according to the Pauline pattern. I hope you get that. The sort of work that is lost to the fire is that which is not edifying to the body of Christ. And I guarantee you, it's going to be a lot of work lost at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, 3-4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fable. Paul had already stated what Timothy must do as well as you and I in verse 2 of 2 Timothy 4:2. He told them, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. God is the standard of holiness, not the culture. As we acknowledge, pursuing godliness in an ungodly culture is not easy. It's a fight. It would get tiring. It would get discouraging. So we must set our sights on the day that will come when the fight will be no more. As ambassadors for Christ, we are called on to be lights in this darkness. We can't walk in light when we are standing on the wrong foundation. The call for God's people is to shine the light of the gospel in a dark world by doing things Christ's way, thinking like Christ and laboring with Christ and what he's doing. Yet at times the darkness seems overwhelming. Many believers try to live life without a firm foundation. They look great until one of life's storm or quakes come along and hits them. All too often their faith crumbles into panic or bitterness towards God. The main issue why many will turn their ears away from the truth would be their foundation. They don't have the right foundation. For our learning tonight, Jesus doing his earthly ministry to the nation of Israel. This is for our learning tonight. He said in Matthew 9 and 36, he said, but when they saw the multitude, Jesus, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. Look at what Jesus said about when he was his minister to the nation of Israel. He said, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Where you going with this, preacher? Just stay with me. Then in Mark 6:34, And Jesus, when he came out and saw much people, and he was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Those who have seen sheep in person know that without a shepherd, sheep move about aimlessly, wandering here and there. My brothers and sisters, getting lost and generally paying little heed to the dangers around them. It is a serious problem for sheep to be without a shepherd, because a shepherd is the one who leads the sheep to the pasture and then brought them back home safely. The shepherd knows where to take the flock, the water, and the food, and protects them from danger. A shepherd sees the big picture and looks for the health of the flock, whereas the sheep only sees a small picture. I find this interesting. That is to say, in our gospel reading, when Jesus had compassion on the crowd, he began to teach them. Notice that he began to teach them. He felt sorry for them, so he began to teach them. When you feel sorry for others because you know that they are lost, and if they are saved, and if they are saved, they are confused and have no sense of direction, do you begin to teach? You would think that Jesus would have done something else, perhaps more practical, like heal, like feed, or help them economically, or something like that. But he feels compassion, and he begins to teach. So how did that help them? In general, Jesus knew that people are lost. They don't even know why they're alive, some folks. They're just going through life, following man and his traditions and the commandments of men. They don't know the purpose for their lives, or their purposes are shallow and short-sighted. It wasn't a simple matter of economics with the multitude Jesus was dealing with. If that was the case, Jesus could have made them money. It wasn't about the economics. It wasn't simply because they were ill, because most of them were not, and he healed the ones who asked. It wasn't because they were not religious. The Jews were as religious as Jews have ever been. It says they were like sheep without a shepherd. They needed direction. They needed a way to God and needed to learn how to live. You see, we can be religious. We can be okay physically and economically and still lack purpose and have no sense of what God is doing in the dispensation of grace. Do you understand that? Just like the multitudes that Jesus had compassion on, they had no sense of direction. They were lost. This is the spiritual state of many in the dispensation of grace who are standing on a shaky and faulty foundation. It's dangerous when you don't follow out with the plan that was given to God's wise master builder. It's dangerous when you don't know out, when you don't know, don't follow out with the plan of the wise master builder, the apostle Paul. We are like sheep with no shepherd, just wandering from one doctrine to another. You're wandering from one assembly to another, following the traditions and commandments of men, when you don't follow the plan that the wise master builder has laid out, being carried away with every wind of doctrine. Many have turned their ears away from the truth for fables and tickling ear messages because they are standing on the wrong foundation. My brothers and sisters, every faulty and corrupt foundation will give birth to a faulty and corrupt life. You cannot go beyond the level of your foundation. Many are living confused lives now because of their foundation. Most of the pearls that young people, as well as many others, face come from a faulty foundation. Drugs and alcohol start out looking like an enjoyable blessing, but untold millions have learned the hard way that the Bible is true when it says of alcohol, at last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Proverbs 23:29-35. Likewise, premarital sex allures young people as well as others with seductive promises of excitement and pleasure, but in the end, lives are ruined and regrets are too numerous to number. My brothers and sisters, we can avoid these and all other dangerous pitfalls of life by building our lives on the Lord Jesus Christ. Many right now thinking that they already have a firm foundation in life. Their music, money in the bank, the education they're receiving, their friends, maybe the relationships with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. These things might seem to offer solid foundation in your life, but I can assure you on the authority of God's word that they are not solid. When the hard times come and the bottom drops out of your life, you will need the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens when we build on the wrong foundation? The most important part of any building is its foundation. No matter how beautiful and magnificent a building is, if it's standing on a faulty foundation, destruction of that building is imminent. The structure that was once considered glorious would in no too distant time crumble like a pack of cards. A faulty foundation is a breeding ground for doubt. For example, if you believe when we become saved, we no longer have any trouble with sin, and then you have trouble with sin, you might doubt if you're saved. To this person, I would recommend they read the Apostle Paul's trouble he had with sin in Romans 7:14-25. So on a wider scale, if your faith is seated on an incorrect foundation or a foundation with incorrect facts, the results can be drastic. If the spiritual foundation of a Christian is faulty, it is unlikely that he or she would live a fulfilled life, let alone knowing and fulfilling the purpose of God and his will. Just like a physical building, our lives we live in the dispensation of grace is on a foundation, and it shows how we conduct ourselves, how we believe and whom we believe is based on what foundation you're standing on. Our foundation will show through our actions and inactions. Now, just for a moment, I'd like you to compare the reliability of the foundation to the foundation of Christ enjoyed by the Apostle Paul. Let's look in Acts 16. Acts 16, Paul and his friend Silas were falsely accused. They were beaten and imprisoned. And the Bible saying at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise unto God, and the prisoners heard it. Could your spiritual foundation withstand harsh treatment such as this? What Paul and Silas went through? But would your foundation also enable you to sing praises to God after receiving such brutal injustice? If not, maybe it's time to consider a new foundation. Let's read on. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. We've been talking about the need to build your life on the right foundation. How symbolic here in God's word to read here that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. Over time, the prisoners incarcerated, there had come the trust in those prison walls. Just like we trust that we step on our brakes in the car, that the car is going to stop. We become trustworthy. We trust that when we flip the switch in our house, the lights are going to come on. And those walls there also represented the massive power of the Roman Empire, protecting the prisoner from the outside world and all the dangers out there. Their foundation in life seemed sure and steadfast, and they didn't think anything could shake it until now. Now, as the wall shook violently, they knew that even the awesome power of Rome couldn't protect them from everything. And so while it was Paul and Silas who had been beaten and bloodied unjustly, when the earthquake came, it was the prisoners who were shaken to the very foundation. So shaken that even though everyone's bands were loose, not an inmate dared to run away. They were so afraid. Brothers and sisters, as sure as you may be of your foundation, there are earthquakes that lie ahead in your life that will rock your world. Are you like the prisoners trusting some earthly foundation? If so, the time to establish your life firmly on the Lord Jesus Christ is now. As we keep reading in Acts 16, we find that the prisoners weren't the only ones shaken to the foundation by this earthquake. Acts 16:27 says, and the keeper of the prison waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and he would have killed himself supposing that the prisoners have fled. Now, let's get to the meat of this, where Paul going. So what about the jailer when he woke up, saw all the doors had flung open? Only an hour ago, his world was rock solid and secure because all the prisoners were locked in and all the doors were locked. But a Roman prisoner keeper, guess what? He was responsible for his inmates with his life. Now, thinking that all the prisoners were escaped, this jailer was about to kill himself. How about you? Does a recent earthquake in your life have you thinking that suicide is the answer? Suicide is very common among young people, as well as many others in this day and time. But suicide is not the answer. If you, like the jailer, are thinking of taking your life because of your many troubles and you want to throw the towel in and call it quits, you need a new foundation. Fortunately for the jailer, Paul was there to offer him one. Look at the compassion Paul had while dealing with this jailer. Just like the compassion that Jesus had with the multitude we discussed earlier, Paul knew he was lost, this jailer, in need of salvation, in need of direction. But Paul cried with a loud voice saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here," Paul said. Then he called for a light. The jailer sprang in, and he came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. After Paul assured the jailer that none of his captors had escaped and thus talked him out of his deadly decision, this shaken man had a question for the apostle. You see, when you're standing on the right foundation, Jesus Christ, guess what? People going to want to question you how you can stay so calm in the midst of storms. People want to talk to you when your world is falling and crumbling. But guess what? You still standing firm on God's word because you know God's grace is sufficient for you. When you standing on the right foundation, my brothers and sisters, it's going to show that you don't get rattled when the enemy try to deter you, distract you, try to kill you. You don't get rattled. Paul assured the jailer that none of his captors had escaped and thus talked him out of his deadly decision. Now this shaken man had a question for the apostles. "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Notice the jailer acknowledged Paul and Silas. He said, "Sirs," it's wonderful when, notice the jailer acknowledged Paul and Silas. He said, "Sirs, both of them, what must I do to be saved?" He didn't just say Paul. He said Paul and Silas. Notice the jailer acknowledged both of them. And it's wonderful when saints have the same mind and agree on whom they believe and what they believe. Paul and Silas' foundation was solid. Their foundation was Jesus Christ and him crucified. They were of the same mind and in agreement, and they were who they were by the grace of God. The songs of praise that Paul and Silas had been singing at night had obviously praised God for the wonderful security of being saved. And now the jailer wants to switch his foundation in life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can someone look at you and see the praises you give God in the midst of your suffering for Christ and the sufferings of this present time? Can they see the praises that you give when everything is not going your way, when sickness is on you? Can they see the secure foundation you are resting in, even in the midst of your sickness? Can they see your foundation in the midst of your discouragement, heartaches, and pains? The Apostle Paul answered the jailer's question in the very next verse, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Now, don't be afraid of that word, saved. The Bible uses this word over and over again. But notice Paul didn't tell the jailer, "Believe on the Lord and try to be good." Nor did he tell him, "Believe on the Lord and learn to be religious." He simply said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's it. That's it. That's all. That's all. The jailer found that it was just that easy to switch to Paul's foundation on that fateful day so long ago. And it's just as easy to switch to Paul's foundation to do it today. All you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. believe that God placed all our sins on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we believe on him, God takes Christ's righteousness and places it on us, completing the transaction that must be completed for the purchase of our salvation. So do you believe God when he says that all your sins are paid for? Do you trust him when he says that? If you don't, you'll just have to go on trying to save yourself, which cannot happen. By being good or by being bad. But this is something the Bible says you can never do, because the Bible says not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. My brothers and sisters, the word of God requires that we pay great attention to the foundations upon which we are building. A lot of believers are going through very difficult moments and needless pain, all because they have built their lives on the wrong foundation. So many marriages are hitting the rocks because they are not established on the right foundation. Many saints in the body of Christ continue to be anxious, confused, with no peace because they are not standing on the right foundation. A lot of believers just want to have the desires of their hearts by all means, including ungodly and crooked means. How many denominations and ministries have started out on the wrong foundation of lies, deceit, the love of money and fame, rather than the foundation that God gave the Apostle Paul for us in the dispensation of grace? The wrong foundation affects courtships and relationships. What a tragedy. Many saints continue to fall away from the faith because they have built their faith on the wrong foundation. Many built their faith on a church building and that assembly. They have become very passionate about their local church and have developed a "my church is better than your church" attitude. Many have a favorite Bible teacher or may like one pastor better than the other. This even happened with believers. The Apostle Paul warned, "For when one says, I am a Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe as the Lord gave to each one?" There is nothing wrong with liking a certain pastor and joining a church that you are part of, but don't build the foundation of your faith on these things. Churches, denominations, and following man and his tradition will confuse and disappoint you. We must remember they are run by people, and people make mistakes. Pastors will disappoint you because they are human like everyone else. So if you build your foundation on a church or on a pastor, you can easily fall away because those people will mess up and will disappoint. Paul says in Galatians 1:10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I yet please man, I should not be the servant of Christ." Right into the church at Corinth, Paul pointed out, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 3:11. It's all about Jesus Christ. So don't build your foundation on people. Build your foundation on Jesus Christ. It is by faith in the gospel of the grace of God that one enters into the body of Christ. Who laid the foundation of the Christian faith in the dispensation of grace? The Bible says that it was Paul. Please understand that Jesus Christ is the foundation, but the Holy Spirit claims that Paul is the wise master builder. He's the chief architect who laid the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ and him crucified for our sin, buried and risen again for our justification. In this text, Paul calls himself a wise master builder, an expert builder. Paul is a wise master builder. And he's speaking, of course, of the church, the body of Christ. Apostle Paul is always comparing the wisdom of God as over the wisdom of this world, and how that wisdom of this world knows nothing of the wisdom of God. And here in this verse, he's still sticking to that term, wisdom, as a wise master builder with wisdom, God's wisdom. Brothers and sisters, with the raising up of Paul, God began to form the church, which is the body of Christ. This is the church of today, and it is founded on Christ. Not as Christ as the King, but as the exalted Lord, the risen Savior, the head of the one body. Paul says, "I have laid the foundation." He's been there from day one overseeing this building, which is the body of Christ, and another they're building their own. But Paul said, let every man take heed, following in Paul's footsteps, how he buildeth thereupon. My brothers and sisters, the wise master builder will have numerous meetings with the owner of the building about to be built. Paul had many meetings with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. During these meetings Jesus had with Paul, he let him know what the building, the one new man, the church, the body of Christ should look like, and what the foundation, what the function of the church, the body of Christ is to be. Apostle Paul, as the wise master builder, he sits at his drafting table, the word of truth, right and divided, and he draws up the blueprint, the mystery that God has given him for the church, the body of Christ, composed of Jews and Gentiles together in one new man. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul went over every detail and function of the one new man, the body of Christ, so that everyone is on the same page and there is no confusion as to what is this building, this living organism, the church, the body of Christ, will look like in the dispensation of grace. And the owner, the head of the church, Jesus Christ approves it. The seal of the architect, the Apostle Paul, is placed on the blueprint. The blueprint, the mystery given to him by the grace of God as the wise master builder. Then the wise master builder, the Apostle Paul, is given the task by the grace of God to oversee the construction of the building project, the building up of the one new man, the church, the body of Christ, making sure that all that buildeth there on the foundation take heed how he buildeth thereupon. The Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, as the wise master builder, was given the full authority as his apostleship in the dispensation of grace to oversee God's design for his church. A wise master builder also builds to withstand the fire of judgment. My brothers and sisters, Paul, the wise master builder, by the grace of God, and the foundation is Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, we're going to stop right there, and we're going to pick it up next week, my brothers and sisters, as we continue to talk about the foundation. My brothers and sisters, let us pray. Father, help, we thank you for your word tonight. We pray as those who listen in that they were encouraged, that they were enlightened, and that they were edified, as we all studied the word of truth, rightly divided together. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and